Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey guys, Molly here. You may have noticed that our recent release schedule has been kind of, sporadic. This has been due to a series of technical difficulties, including my computer finally dying. So, using some other computers, I frantically tried to edit last week's episode, only to realize I'd edited the wrong episode. On the bright side, this week, you're getting two. Next week, we will be taking off, both because we normally take off after we finish a book, and because I need a break with my crazy busy teaching schedule at the moment. But we will return in October every week with Street Magic. Oh yeah. Also, this episode may include swearing.
To the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And today we're reading the epilogue of Magic Sap.
So grab your cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's make the perfect student.
I love it so much, though.
It's pretty much just two scenes. The first scene is Pasco heading off to live at Yasmin's dance studio, and his family's kind of begrudgingly accepted that he is a dancer. He's got to go learn. The second scene is Sandry going back to discipline to visit Lark again. In this scene, we do have a little bit of exposition about the things that have been going on at the Citadel. The Duke has been asking Sandry for advice on fashion, and Baron Erdogan has gotten in an argument with one of the maids because why can't you just let Lady Sandry handle it? And Sandry arrives at discipline, and there's a young man there sitting at the table, and the instant he sees her, he runs away. And Lark comes in.
That's a fucking mood, though.
Lark comes in and explains that this is Comus, who is the student who has been mentioned briefly in like chapter 4, who has signs of being a mage and is very, very shy. Lark also mentions that he is very agreeable, and she's like, I'm pretty sure that's why he's a novice. Like, somebody told him he should do it, and he just said, okay. So I'm gonna have to break in with that. And
I wonder how it's gonna go whenever Rosethorn shows back up, because she's really gruff. Lark is very like nurturing and like, okay, I'm gonna be really sweet and gentle to this kid, and Rosethorn is not that. So I wonder how it's gonna go whenever she shows back up, how that's gonna go. Because he can barely be around one person at a time, let alone two. And to be around somebody like Rosethorn.
Which is probably why Lars tells Sandry that she thinks it's going to be easier without Rosethorn.
Yeah, for sure. That kid is never going to come out of his room ever again.
I'm sure that Rosethorn will be able to keep herself not as mean. She's capable of it. Whether she'll want to or not is another question, but
yeah,
I'm sure she can tone it down.
I feel like she gets irritated easily, though, and him being super agreeable and bolting as soon as he sees someone, I feel like she would get irritated pretty quickly with the kid.
I'm hoping she'll be able to keep it.
She does have Lark there, though, and Lark is really good at keeping Rose Thorne in line. So.
No, Rosie, stop it.
Lark's going to put her in the well.
Oh, Lark is the only one who keeps that threat against Rose Thorne. Listen, if you're not nice to him, I will put you in the well.
Thomas has been living in Daja's old room because even before the kids all left to the four corners of Emelon, even before the kids left, Daja was mostly sleeping at Frostpine's Forge. Lark was like, I don't think she'll mind. Sandry tells Lark that she thinks she's going to be staying on at the Duke's Citadel. Lark is not at all surprised by this and basically says, well, yeah, you're growing up and this is part of your process of growing up. So of course you're going to go stay at the Duke's Citadel and do these more grown-up things that are involved in living there. Lovely, sweet little goodbye between Lark and Sandry. Of course, it's not like a goodbye forever, I'm never going to see you again, but it's kind of like the kid leaving for college. As part of her going away, Sandry goes upstairs to tell Thomas that he should have her old room because it's right next to Lark's workshop. She thinks that hearing Lark doing her work in her workshop might help Thomas feel more comfortable.
And he won't have as far to run this time either.
True. That too. That is how magic stuff ends.
Sweet but sad.
Kind of bittersweet.
It really is. It's really bittersweet.
Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and we disliked in the chapter. Thomas is one of my favorite characters in the entire series, even though he plays a very small role. He's mentioned in chapter four, and then we see him for about three sentences in this book. And I just think he's so sweet and adorable and cute. And I just kind of want to, like, pat his head. That's my big thing.
Just want to reassure him. It's okay. Sandry won't bite.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and then I mentioned this last episode when we read the excerpt. I'm glad Pasco's family is figuring out that his dancing isn't useless. But I did notice that his grandfather says the word female the same way Crane does.
Irritated me because they're like, oh, you can use this for harrier work, but what can that female teach you? That female is the one that taught him the dance to be able to catch said rats. So obviously she can teach him a whole great deal. Now shut your fucking face.
Also, the provost is female, the provost herself. Many of this guy's descendants who are themselves harriers are female, like his daughter. I don't know if it specifies whether this is his Pasco's maternal or paternal grandfather, but regardless
of whatever grandfather he is.
Yeah, like, Pasco's mom, Pasco's sister, Pasco's cousin.
Even though he's got all these powerful women, I'm assuming, in his like space, you can still feel that like misogyny in that.
Maybe it's because she's tiny. I don't know.
Wrong regardless.
Well, it's one of those. It's also someone who's not a harrier. So therefore, by default, it's someone who's less noble or less strong or something along those lines.
That's true, but
because
literally
it's not a harrier.
She taught him the dance that helped him catch the rats. So
I know. I'm just saying that's probably a good deal of why he responds like that is because she's not a harrier. And she dances to make her money.
I think I just changed my answer for part three in this moment.
I liked seeing Pasco stand up to his grandther, because he was clearly, when he was, before he met Sandry and learned all this magic and stuff, he couldn't stand up for himself, even like in front of his cousins, much less his own mom or his grandpa. But he's kind of learned to stand up for himself, at least a little bit. I think we're going to see him go on and do really great things in the future. At least I hope we are.
I hope so. I want to see them again.
I also like the part where Lark explained to Sandry that the guilt that she feels over taking the life of the Dinahers and the unmagic mage child, it's okay for her to feel bad about it, even though she made the correct decision, because that guilt that she feels over making that kind of lets her know that it was an okay thing to do. If she didn't feel guilt over it, well, that's something you might have to worry about in Sandry.
Would it make her any better than the Dinahars? So
yeah, so it shows that, you know, she's capable of making these difficult decisions and still feel remorse over what happened, but still be able to make those tough decisions.
I feel like it's the same lesson that Triss learned in her book.
Mm-hmm. I like the very last line that says, "We were lucky. It's time we spread our luck to others, I think." Really kind of opening up. I think the rest of the books are going to be pretty similar to this one, with more students for our kids, who are also still students, I guess. But it feels like a really good jumping off point for the next books, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
I feel like Molly has kind of hinted at all the other kids having students. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's because Sandry is going to send them all letters saying, hey, keep an eye out for these kids that you see and help them out.
Yeah,
it really cemented that.
I wrote about that last paragraph, that ending though. Foreshadowing anyone? Like a Harry Potter musical. Does anyone know what foreshadowing is?
I really liked the Duke asking Sandry for advice about relationship stuff. It's so cute. Him and Yasmin are actually becoming a couple, and it's so cute. Oh my goodness. And then I really like the part two where Lark tells Sandry that she's the closest that she'll ever have as a daughter. And I was like, oh, my heart. It was so cute and so sad at the same time. Having a child of my own, I am not ready for whatever she's going to leave. I know I have several years till that happens. She's only 5, but it's going to come one day, and I'm going to be very saddened by it. Just watching my baby grow.
I'm going to be honest. One of my favorites is the when Pasco's leaving and the line, "We don't want to hear you giving your teacher any grief." And then Pasco's like, "Yeah, between Yasmin and Sandry, I'm the one who's going to be in trouble."
I do like that Pasco tells his grandfather, like, look, I have to understand my magic in full. And I'm like, I feel like you learned a lesson from getting kidnapped by murderers, even if it was a very brief kidnapping. Like,
I mean, if he wouldn't have got kidnapped, I feel like he would be the same old Pasco, and he probably wouldn't have moved in with Yasmin. I don't feel like he would have learned a lesson. So it was good, I guess, he got kidnapped.
I'd say
perhaps it was meant to be, in a way.
You know, like seeing exactly what happened to the other kid mage, his same age, you know, that had to have had a huge effect on him.
Huge.
And it says as much, you know, but like,
yeah,
this is the entire reason why he's going into training, is because he knows what'll happen.
He doesn't want to end up like that.
Yeah.
So as bad as the kidnapping was, it was also good at the same time. Benefits out of it.
I guess we learn from our mistakes.
Exactly.
When they don't kill us.
Yeah, when they don't kill us.
Maybe next time he won't sneak a bite of the cake, dummy.
Right?
Imagine if that was the only lesson he got out of that. Oh, no more cake.
Only eat cake at appropriate times.
But I'm never eating cake again, ever.
Yeah. Another is Sandry's spiral into like this self-loathing and depression being broken by letters from Daja, Briar, and Triss.
I felt that.
That I thought that was adorable. It also has a lot of meaning behind it, but I just love that that's what pulls her out. And I know I touched on this in a couple of previous chapters where her grounding are the other kids. And like, this just kind of reinforces that their relationship is so strong. They're able to affect each other without even being able to communicate instantaneously. I love it.
Well, it's kind of like the last book that focused on Sandri was about her kind of forging this group of friends that were her light.
And then it's
maybe not as strong a theme in this book, but you still see it because we have that unmagic and she still has these nightmares of getting swallowed into darkness. And at this moment where she is metaphorically being swallowed into that darkness, they are the light that helps bring her out of it.
Makes me happy. It makes me feel things. I know Brittany touched on this, but I want to touch on the phrasing of this, like just how it said, "You and I are not finished, my heart." That specifically, it just, the relation, we talk a lot about Briar and Rose Thorne's relationship and how their bond has formed, but we don't ever really like talk about Lark and Sandri's relationship, because Lark's kind of like that doting mother who can be firm when she needs to be, but would rather spoil the children. And this is all of them. We see her with everybody.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about the bond between Sandri and Lark and how different it is than with anybody else. I just love them. I talk about how much I love Briar and Rose Thorne, but no, really, Sandri and Lark are just, I love it so much, because Lark is exactly what Sandri needs. And then Goodwin talked about the last line in the chapter, and no, really, I also love that.
To kind of jump off what you were saying too, Sandri and Lark's relationship, that's kind of what the whole series has been about, these student kid, you know, relationships that are we're kind of seeing not end, but kind of start over. The kids themselves are now becoming the teachers, and they're basically almost like training up the new generation. They've had great teachers, so I don't have any reason to believe that they won't be great teachers as well.
I'm excited to see more of Triss and Nico's relationship, because with the other three are with their teacher like almost every day, and they can rely on their teachers a lot, like Dodge and Frostpine, Rose Thorne and Briar, Lark and Sandri. With Nico, first four books, you just see him like, oh, here's some books, read these books, and I'll be back later. So now that Triss is actually out on an adventure with him, it's gonna be nice to see their actual like relationship grow some, because we see that with all the other kids, but not so much with Triss.
I'm just over here with the scheming face.
And Molly too.
I can't look at Natalie because this is just hilarious.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
2 of our 3-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or a message in the chapter. To me, the theme is life must go on and or growing up. You're all nodding. So
that's the theme I had too.
Yeah.
Mine was growing or moving on. But yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I've talked before about how I like coming of age stories. Just the way this book wraps up, I feel like is a really good example of what I love about this series and why I love this series so much, because it really is just a coming of age story about these 4 young people. It also has magic in it, everything I need in my life. Do you guys have anything you want to add to that?
Honestly, it's just so like really, really obvious and in your face. Like,
yeah.
Because I mean, you know, we see Pasco definitely grown up, kind of standing up for himself a little bit in front of his family, and Sandry basically giving up her spot in discipline, which she can always come back to, but you know, just pretty much being made aware that she's growing up. It's all there.
Yeah.
They grow up so fast.
They really do. So sad.
I feel like that's really kind of why it's bittersweet. I feel like coming of age stories always have kind of a bittersweet ending to them.
I wasn't ready. We just got them in the first 4 and now they're already grown up and flying away. I'm not ready. I wanted more adventures with them together, but no, we're already having them torn apart, and it's breaking my heart.
Yeah, they gotta spread their wings.
Don't go breaking my heart.
I wasn't thinking it was gonna be so soon.
I mean, it snuck up on me. I mean, it kind of goes back to the beginning of this one where it's like, Sandry has to become a teacher now, even though she's 14. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting that. So this it's very fast.
We were told there's 11 books in this series. It's like, okay, maybe book like 9, 10, 11 is when they like,
yeah,
split
like
up.
Near the end, yeah.
Yeah, near the end. They start splitting up and doing their own thing, growing up. No, we're on book 5. And they're already splitting up. Oh my
God. It has been quick.
Remind me when we reach the end of the series, I will have to tell you my theory on how the series was originally formulated and why or how it didn't end up following such formulation.
Okay. Do you want to know why it didn't? I can already tell you why it didn't follow such formulation. Can already tell you. Character said, I see your plan, but nah, that's not what we're gonna do. As a writer, Molly, you know this too. The characters go, I see your plan. I see it. But we're gonna do this now.
See, I like that because at some point the book just starts growing organically and you don't really know where it comes from. You're like, I don't remember plotting this, but okay.
I guess this is how it is.
Part 3 is Reading Like a Mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic did you craft out of this chapter?
You can always go home again. It's one of those things. I've always been kind of on the outs with my family. And so the family that I have now, I know I could disappear for years and come back. And I mean, we'd have to work on it, but I can always come home again. It's like when I moved to Ohio, I came back and immediately was just accepted back. And I feel like that kind of, especially with the line of, and if I want to leave the Citadel, when Sandry says that, and she's basically asking permission, if I don't like this, can I come back home? And Lark's immediate, of course. You can always come home again.
Magic that I took out of this is that guilt isn't always negative. It definitely has, you know, a negative connotation. And if it's not properly managed, it can escalate to something worse. But having a sense of guilt over something you've done, even though it was right, it's not always bad. It can help keep you in check and kind of help you understand that if you've done something wrong for the right reason, it can still hurt you and kind of keep you. Well, the example in the in the book being Sandry obviously had to take three lives. And even though it was for good reasons, the fact that she feels guilt is kind of what separates them from the people that she had to take out.
Guilt can make you a better person if you don't let it consume you.
The magic I pulled out was where Pasco talks about how he wants to understand his magic, the good and the bad. I know with myself, I don't like learning bad things. And so I tend to try to avoid it. I need to start learning the bad things, I guess, to make myself a more well-rounded person, I guess. Pasco recognizes his shortcomings in using his magic for greedy and self-serving reasons, like eating cake when he's not supposed to be there. He learned, hey, I probably shouldn't sneak off and eat cake or I'll get kidnapped. So
I think that's something we all need to remember.
Yeah, don't be greedy, little bastards, and we won't get kidnapped.
Invisibility, good, cake, bad.
But no, in all seriousness, I definitely want to start not just good things, but also bad things. So it will make me a well-rounded person as well.
Well, I said that you guys made me change my answer for number three at the beginning of the episode. So what I wrote down at the beginning of the episode was change doesn't happen in a day. As much as I'm like, geez, Granther, you're still being kind of a dick. Well, it's baby steps, right? So he's not gonna like magically be like, oh, dancing is a worthwhile profession. But he has taken the first steps toward accepting Pasco for who he is. The other one I feel like still stands true that I wrote down before, which was that last line that we've already mentioned. And I guess it especially hits me because I'm a teacher, but yeah, spread your luck. Since this is the last chapter of the book, we're gonna hold off on our excerpt until our next episode when we talk about the book as a whole.
Yay!
Woo! Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Or tell us what you think by emailing us at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
Find all of our episodes at readingcircletemple.com and find more sound clips by following the Reading Circle Temple on SoundCloud.
Never miss a post by following Reading Circle on Tumblr.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Facebook and join the Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
See our cats by following Reading Circle Temple on Instagram.
Or you can tweet at us at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellow is for Happy for our artwork. If you like their art, follow Yellow is for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon and Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our music. Find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening. Let's all have coffee next week.
I love when Goodwin just like loses his train of thought completely and turns into Neanderthal man.
I can't. I'm physically incapable of thoughts right now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.